Pompous is hot.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.
Compost is hot. So hot.
The University of Northern British Columbia is known as Canada's Green University, and as such, it's had an active composting program for years. For quite some time, though, the population on campus and the compost needs were relatively small, and PG PERG, or the Prince George Public Interest Research Group, took care of the compost on a primarily volunteer basis, where members of the UMBC community contributed their food scraps to bins placed around campus, volunteers would pick them up, and the compost pile was kept outdoors, where it was eventually converted into soil, available for university gardening programs, and even available to the public. However, as the university instated a meal plan, and on-campus food waste grew, it could no longer be dealt with on a strictly volunteer basis. The university stepped up by installing a sizable food processing machine in the recycle room below the administration building. You can hear it in the background churning. To get the program going, a student position was created. Keaton Friel applied for that position, got it, and took on the challenge.
What was your hip-hop name again? Freaky T?
Freaky T.
We're on location in the recycling room at UMBC with local hip-hop musician Freak Boy T, who's composed Compost is Hot, a hit single here on UMBC campus, but who also happens to operate UMBC's compost program. A.K.A. Keaton Friel, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Right now, it looks as though the contract Keaton is under will expire in the spring with no plans for renewal. And he's trying to do something about that.
Yeah, I was actually only supposed to be a six-month contract. I've already been extended 3 months, which is great. And we've been advocating from the beginning to make this position permanent. We were basically tasked with demonstrating broad community support for the continued existence of this position, and that's what we're trying to do with collecting these letters of support through the sustainability office.
So it sounds like you do have some support gaining. There's some letters of support going on. Does it feel encouraging?
It does. It's been a really positive response. It feels good to see how many people care. Absolutely. They hired me to initialize the program, and the hope was that it would become self-sustaining. As the person who does this program every day, I really can't envision a situation where that's possible. It's a lot of work. We do about 500 to 700 kilos of food waste per week. This Sunday or Monday, depending on how much food scraps are produced by the catering events, we will hit 10,000 kilos of food waste diversion since September. Some of it contains contaminants, so I'm sorting garbage by hand. I categorize and weigh all of the waste. There's a recipe to follow to keep the compost quality where we want it, because we are doing now with this in-vessel composter, the first stage of composting is happening inside. So it's really important to manage the process correctly to not get odor complaints, because that could get us shut down, especially because we are in the basement of the admin building. So it'll go right up to the president's office if it's not taken care of. And the idea for how this program is supposed to operate without an operator is that the maintenance assistants will take it on. And I talked to the maintenance assistants, and they already work full time. They're busy people, and so am I. And I feel like the work that I do is not being recognized. If this idea continues to be put forward that everything that I do can just be absorbed into the workload of people who are already working full time.
Can you describe the lab coat that you've been wearing over the last little while? When did you start wearing it, and what does it say?
Yeah, so I was, because my position was supposed to be temporary, I was never given a uniform, but obviously this is a dirty job. So I have a lab coat, which I originally just stenciled UNBC compost operator in the back. That's because I wash the green bins in the custodial sink in the women's bathroom or around the corner from the cafeteria. I don't know what architect in the 90s was like, let's put it in a gendered bathroom, but that's the only convenient place to wash them. So I just wanted people to know why I was in there, just doing my job. And then when we got to this point where we needed to gather public support to encourage UNBC to protect this the continuation of this position, I added another message, which is tell UNBC to keep my job, sustainability at unbc.ca. And that is the email where you can contact us and add your name to our letter of support or receive some guidance on how to make a personalized letter of support. I love this job, and I just hope that I can continue to do this work. I think that what we've done so far is a really good news story for UNBC, and I just hope that we can continue.
UNBC's Director of Facilities Management and Capital Projects, David Claus, spoke to us about the challenge of maintaining continuity of such a program.
Perfect. So I'm David Claus. I'm the Director of Facilities Management and Capital Planning at the University.
Thanks for taking time with me today, David.
Well, first off, I'm excited that we're talking about composting. Composting has been part of UNBC for decades under various forms. And this past summer, we made great advances when we purchased an in-vessel unit. So that allows us to expand what we compost, and it allows us to take on larger volume. It's something that we've been working on for 15 years to try and get this in place. And so this past summer, we were actually able to purchase the unit and get it installed. And when we were planning that out, we looked at how are we going to make sure that this system doesn't cause us problems. And one of the main problems of our composting system is odor. And if you don't get the balance right when you're setting it up, you can cause yourselves a lot of headaches or nose aches. And so we looked at that and we said, you know what we should do is create a student position to help us through the commissioning and the startup of this. And we need to get the mix right. We need to work on our collection system and work on just monitoring it and making sure that everything is stable. And the plan was that after it's up and running and it's in a steady state, you don't need as much human input to keep it going. And then they would ramp down and we'd be able to incorporate that into our operations. That was the original plan. We'd hired a compost coordinator. That was the title we gave to that position for setting it up. And we now, the good news is we have it set up. It's working. It's doing its thing. Most days you can't smell it. And now we're looking at, okay, how do we transition that into our day-to-day operations and ensure that it's sustainable so that 15 years from now we are still running a composting system.
As it pertains to the review of the composting system, how independent it becomes and how sustainable it is, who conducts that review? Is that within facilities itself, or is there the sustainability wing? How is that assessed?
Yeah, it's assessed within facilities. The sustainability office is part of facilities. And so it's within that. If we needed additional expertise, sometimes we reach out to faculty. Sometimes we do have a sustainability advisory committee that we sometimes go to on things like that, but not on something quite so operational. Typically that's done within the facilities group. How much input it needs is something that we monitor on a continuous basis. And that's something we've looked at up until now. And as you mentioned, we've extended the position a little bit. That's in light of, okay, has it reached the point where we wanted it to be? And as we move forward, we look to the budgeting process of the institution. There are budgeting processes, there are hiring processes, and there are a couple of collective agreements, all of which govern how we go through this. It's something we do on a day-to-day basis on a whole bunch of fronts. This is just one of them, and it's something we're continuing to look at.
Individuals within the campus universe pursue grants, funding, sponsorships through their own volition a lot of times to pursue research, things like that. It's assisted by the university through letters of reference. But is there a wing of the university that pursues grants, alternative funding, sponsorship, that kind of thing? And are they at all focused on sustainability area of the university itself?
It's kind of two parts to that. We have an office of advancement that works on that sort of thing for the entire institution, but it's not like a drive-through where you come through with your request of the day and then they go off and do it. We can provide ideas. But then the second part of that is the sustainability office and sustainability manager. That's part of their mandate and that's part of what they do. And they've been working on that on this particular front too for 8 or 9 months. But as you know, working for a nonprofit, pursuing grants and things like that, sometimes they come through and sometimes they don't. And that's something that is part of the reality of working in this field.
Now that this program has been tended to for a while, is there going to be mechanisms in place to intervene when people aren't using it properly in the future when there isn't someone directly overseeing it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I mentioned I've been working on getting this composter here for 15 years. We're going to continue to watch it and monitor how it goes to make sure that it's still here 15 years from now and operating as it's intended.
Ideally, where does the compost end up once we have a nice finished compost product?
We have a very large property here, and some of it is landscaped, and a lot of our soil is not optimal for growing things. So our plan is to absorb the compost on our grounds and in our gardens for years and years to come.
Is there another department of the university that a position like this could potentially fall under if it is indeed a hard wall that facilities itself cannot continue this position? Is there another wing that could absorb the program?
Within facilities, we're open to working with all sorts of different groups. I don't know exactly where something like that hypothetically would live. We're open to working with people. We also fall back on we're an educational institution, and we train students, we equip students, and we recognize that transitioning from being a student to entering the workforce is something that we encourage our students to do, and sometimes it's painful to watch that because we don't get to keep them. But as an educational institution, we don't keep everybody that we train. We train people, and hopefully they move on to bigger and better things elsewhere.
Thanks so much. I hope that facilities, recycle room continues to be a relatively neutral odor zone.
As do we.
Hey, Freak4T, what's hot?
Compost is hot.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM.
You've heard from UMBC's Director of Facilities Management and Capital Projects and Keaton Friel, Compost Operator.
This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.
Tea leaves, green peas and cream cheese. Yeah, system takes dairy cooked feed.